Yes, sir.
Eleven.
Do you know how to start it?
Thank you.
17. Have you any room for Jesus? That's the question that we're going to talk about this morning. Have you any room for Jesus? Can you start it? Any room for Jesus? He who bore the load of sin,
has he not tempted and missed? Sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, Lord of glory.
Can you start it?
Throne of God.
Glory, glory be to God.
Well, this is last Sunday school paper. And there's a story in there about a mountain lion and a dog. I don't know if any of here have seen mountain lions. We've got them in our area. We live in what we call the Moringa Mountains. And we've had a lot of nature move into the area the last 30, 40 years. We've got a lot of animals we never had before. And there's a story on the back about a yak, and it's amazing all the things that you can use out of these animals. And one of the things that I've had in my mind since I arrived here, and that is, and it's what's been spoken of many times, and that's knowledge. We have knowledge. All of you children are going to school and learning arithmetic, English. Eventually you'll learn a foreign language. You'll be able to go to another country and talk to them. You're learning history. And we have a lot of books that we can go to. I brought a couple along. And in here, I'll show you some things that are fairly common. One you'll use, we got a dictionary. If you want to speak correctly, it tells you how to say a word. I can honestly tell you I didn't spend much time in a dictionary when I was your age, so I have a poor vocabulary. I got that word out right. So, and I also have a book here from 1992. I used to get these every year. And it says Towing and Service Manual. And it'll explain to you the correct method to hook onto a car to pull it out of the ditch so that you don't damage it. And they're quite useful. And we have a book here that says Mustang Restoration. I don't know if anyone in here is a car mechanic or a car buff, but there's a lot of interesting information in here. It says here, just to read something, about removing the instrument panel. And it says, if you're working on a 69 to 70 car, you've already removed the crash or dash pad. That's what we used to call it, the crash pad. But now we have airbags, side airbags, knee airbags, passenger airbags. We've got roofline airbags. I often wonder, how do people even get hurt? And I've seen a lot of accidents where people didn't get hurt. And it's amazing how technology has incorporated safety into a vehicle, that cars are no longer tanks running down the road, huge pieces of iron like back in the 50s and 60s. When they hit, it was a horrendous crash. Nothing gave. People flew. Now, the car is designed to fold up like an accordion and protect the occupants. That's something that's kind of important, too. And this is an album of American history. You want to learn about the Civil War? There's a lot in here. And if you want to go somewhere, we have books. We got road atlases. You want to go to anywhere in the United States, it tells you where the roads are, and it'll show you where some are still under construction, so that's helpful. So we have knowledge. We have a lot of knowledge at our fingertips. We don't know sometimes how much knowledge we have. With the rise of the internet, it has increased the speed in which you can achieve knowledge. I know many in here have Bible apps on their phones. I sit at home at night. I punch in a word. It's in the New Testament 287 times. It's in the Old Testament 560 times. And it'll show you each and every place that word's at. It's amazing. We have knowledge that is good, and we have knowledge that is bad. And a lot of times we have good knowledge and we don't put it to use. And I thought of a situation where that happened, and it happened when the Lord Jesus was born. We all know the story about when the Lord Jesus was born. We know where he was born. But here's an example, and it's in the book of Matthew. I'll turn to that and I'll read it to you. It's in chapter 2. The book of Matthew in chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And as the story goes on, the wise men, Herod wanted to find Jesus, not for a good reason. But the thing that attracted my attention to that was the fact that those wise men knew the scriptures, and they knew about a Savior coming, and they knew. They had read the scriptures, and they had that knowledge. And I can honestly tell you, they only had that knowledge in their head. And that's been mentioned here this weekend. And I think about that, how many times we know something, but we don't act on it. I have volumes of repair manuals in my shop. When I started working on cars, that was all we had, books. We had books, and it had explanations on how this worked, how that worked, specifications on the tolerance of a bearing for clearance on the engine and everything. We had books that had all that. I could read it. If I didn't apply it, the outcome was not going to be good. And I think about those men, because it says that they were the chief priests and scribes of the people. So they are without excuse. They knew what the scripture said. What have we done? Have even at your young age, you can apply it to your heart. Because one thing that we know that we're sinners. I knew it when I was very young, but I didn't care. Not until I got older. And I would ask each and every one of you, don't wait, because there's so much that the Lord has to offer, even to the little ones, as you grow up. Because the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy, all ye that are burdened, all ye that have sorrow, all ye that have anything. You don't get along with your brother and sister, go to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. I just look around here and I think to myself, when I was your age, I didn't get along with my siblings at all. We were always at odds with each other. And it was quite interesting, because when I was a kid, we used to sleep in the back seat of the car and even in the back window. Cars had that big ledge back there, and that was a good place to take a nap. But as was mentioned last night, the brother in the gospel meeting mentioned that there's joy and there's sorrow. And we have a time, and I think one of the happiest times in my life is when I found Christ. But my parents weren't all that happy, because I don't believe they were saved yet. I told them what I had done, told them where I was going to meeting, and my mom looked at me and she said, don't give them your money. That was my advice from my parents, don't give them your money. And I thought, they don't want my money. They don't want anything from me. All they want is to know that I know the Lord. And it took a while, but my parents eventually got saved at a very old age. And we think about that, the joy, as was mentioned last night, was in heaven. My parents weren't all that happy, but there was joy in heaven. There's a couple chairs up here. And I have to tell you, this morning, I was sitting down there for breakfast, and there was a couple sitting at the table next to me, and I walked over and I handed them a gospel tract. And the man looked at it and he says, well, that's nice, I'm a believer. Immediately we had fellowship together. We had a relationship. And later on another young man came in and I gave him a gospel tract. And he sat there and looked at it and he goes, oh, that's very nice. Then he got up and went out, and I needed a little more coffee. I thought I did anyway, but when I went out there, I saw him throw his plate away with the gospel tract into the trash. And he turned around and he saw me, and he says, oh, I've got a church. I thought, wow, he's got a church. I'm not going to get into that, because that is a deep subject when we start talking about the church. And anyway, I was a little bit saddened by it. And then Friday, I sat down and I filled out this here. Did any of you children do the fill out the verse on the back here inside? It says, fill out the verse. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, the Lord's telling us that right now is the time to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus. And I've kind of got a little bit of an example that I want to share with you here in a little bit. But I've got a couple more verses. And they're in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." There's three words there, rich in mercy. And many times, you know, we hear mercy is defined as not getting what we deserve. And that's true. When you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, then you will not get what you deserve because Christ took it for you. And we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." God, who is rich in his mercy, wants to bless us with his grace and give us many things. We've talked about that in the meetings, the promises. You know, there's a lot of promises in there. I can promise you kids a lot of things. I don't know if I could fulfill them. It all depended upon what I promised you. I could promise you all a drink of water. There's plenty out there. I can't promise you a college education. There's no way I could afford it. But I know that if you try hard, you'll probably have one, and it will come in handy. But that knowledge that we see in the scribes that Herod called, they knew exactly the answer to give to Herod and to give to the wise men. But they lacked one thing. They did not have Christ in their heart. They did not have Christ in their heart. You can have all that knowledge, and you can read the books. You can quote the scriptures. They quoted scripture to Herod. They knew it. And I know many of you children here can quote scripture. And I'm thankful that you can. But I hope that you've written it on your heart, that you've got that. Something that will carry you through when you go through the storms of life. As we sang, it's an anchor that will hold. Many times I was winching cars out of ditches, and I have what they call a dead man. Why they call it that, I don't know, but they call it a dead man. And I run that down into the ground, and that holds my wrecker secure while I'm pulling something out of the ditch. So that would be a good anchor. And I've always enjoyed the fact that it held. It never let me down. And that is one thing that we can see, because the Lord Jesus is that anchor that will hold in any storm. There's no storms. And now, we have a verse here that is in our Sunday school paper that says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Proverbs 4:14-15. You know, that's very good advice. I wished I knew that when I was your age. It would have saved me a lot of grief. Would have saved me a lot of pain. But remember that I read that God, who is rich in mercy? Yeah. I found that. I found that, and it was a wonderful time. And I got a little bit of an example here. And it's something that I had in my mind. We think of God being up on a throne. And he gave the Ten Commandments. And God said, "Thou shalt not," in several occasions. And he said, "Thou shalt," in several occasions. And we think about that. God is just and God is holy. And I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking about all the little children here that have memorized that verse. And I also thought about how nervous a person can be when they're standing up and saying it. And I thought maybe as an example that I would stand up here and I would make a demand that I want everyone to say the verse one at a time. But if you hesitate, if you stumble, if you forget, you fail. That'd be kind of harsh, wouldn't it? But when we got the Ten Commandments, the Lord sent them down. Man said, "Tell us, and we will do." Man had something wrong with him. It's called pride. But I've also thought of something else this morning to show you an example, and that is a substitute. And I'd like Titus to stand up and quote that verse.
"Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away."
That is your substitute. I want all of you to think about that. Because Jesus is your substitute before God. Titus is your substitute for me, so that now, if anyone here wants to say the verse, you can say it without any judgment. You can say it without any consequences. You can say it without any pressure. Because if you fail, or if you hesitate, or if you make a mistake, you will not be punished. Because, as I read in Ephesians 4, that God's grace he gives to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that would like to say the verse? Well, we'll start right there.
In.
Turn from it and pass away. Aren't you thankful you had a substitute? Come up here and get something. Thank you very much. Pick one out. Anyone else want to say it? Young man right there. Good. Let's have a girl say it if anyone wants to. Go ahead. Good. It's nice to know that we can receive blessing from God through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And it's because of the precious blood that was shed at Calvary. We have a substitute before God. We have a Savior that has died for our sins. And that is one of the most important decisions any person can ever make while they're here on earth. And it's a knowledge that we need to take from our heads and put it on our hearts. And that is, it's hard to even explain for me because I know that it works. I know that it works and it works very well. And it's a wonderful thing. Does anyone else like to say the verse? There we go. That's okay. It's already been said. Good.
What's that? And do not do the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Proverbs 4:14-15.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice, you know. Would you like to say it?
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Proverbs 4:14.
You three boys need to get yourself a treat. Yeah, go ahead. That's good advice. And like I said, when I was younger, it would have been good advice for me had I even paid attention to it, if I'd have had it then. But sometimes we have what we call our own will. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Enter.
Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and walk and pass away. Proverbs 4:14-15.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that says we're not to even enter into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. That's something that we can get caught up in very easily as we grow up. College has always been a place where, well, even high school, you get around other people, students, and you get influenced by those that do not have a good moral character. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And it's easy, even for someone that is a believer. That is why it is so important. If we pay attention in the reading meetings we're having right now, it says that we're to add things to our faith. We build it. We make it. God gives us the equipment to do that. Brother Bruce here has been in construction for many years, and you don't take a little skid loader to build a skyscraper. It takes a lot of big equipment. It takes a lot of things. And that's what God has, as it says in that verse that I read to you in Ephesians, that God sends grace through His Son, the Lord Jesus, to equip us to get through all these trials.